Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
I was just telling Laura that yesterday I was walking into Rite Aid to buy deodorant and candy, and I literally was reading an article about Omicron. Of course, some New York Magazine article.
Classic. You're just staying up to date. I love you also being like, I'm not like getting too intense about it. Like I'm not, but you're truly up to date on every newest release.
Yeah, I'd like to
know.
You're
like an Associated Press release.
I do.
Straight to the phone.
I want to know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like, it's not like last year where I'm like on in a place of en masse.
You're not. You're in a place of en masse infection, but not like en masse death, but you're still channeling a little bit of en masse
energy.
That's
okay.
Yeah, I think it is what it is.
I think a majority of people are in a place of en masse right now. No?
I'm not.
Well, not you, obviously, but like a lot of people.
I like to keep, I keep an eye on a few things on socials, but I just tend to avoid the news at this point.
Anyway, anyways, I'm wearing my Birkenstocks, wearing my Alexander Wang.
You got what was coming.
I got
to
what
you.
Was karma got its kiss for me.
Karma did what karma was wrong to
I will rue the day. I just suddenly stepped up onto one of those like horrific parking lot stone gardens that they have, you know, like by like the big, what are they called? Parking lot lights, street lights. You know those big lights?
Yeah, like a curb.
Yeah, and I fucking ate shit. And it was like broad daylight horror. Just me on Fairfax and Sunset going into Ryder. And I literally went, oh! And I went down. And I've already injured my wrists a month ago from falling. And I did it again on two wrists. And I swear I thought I dislocated my shoulder. And I was just like, oh, I was just on the ground. And I like, no one was in the parking lot. But I was just imagining someone driving down Fairfax and turning and just seeing this
just
like
seeing you go
tall
down.
Gay fucking pancaking on the ground. Oh! And then I was like on the ground for a moment and literally went like I'm being earnest when I say this. I literally went, oh.
Yeah, it's harrowing to fall.
I truly felt like Miranda and Just Like That.
Mm-hmm.
Just being a hot mess.
I can't run anymore. This is why I stopped running.
This is
my
why
knees.
I stopped running. But I was just like looked around and I felt such shame about falling.
It's shameful.
I went home and burst into tears at home.
You're a sensitive soul at the end of the day.
But anyway, that's, I'm just like, I have no mystery and I'm literally just like a fucking, you know, mudslide of a person.
You have no mystery. We're talking about the hot bubble
Lara's
phenomenon.
Dealing with something.
Okay, so in dating, I'm starting to realize that there are people who are very attractive and that you're sexually attracted to. And while they may be sexy and hot, sometimes there are people who are sexy and hot and sexually attractive who are really dumb. Like, mm-hmm. Where you think at first you're like, it's cute how dumb they are. And then you start to realize, you think maybe some things that they're doing are like sinister to you, like if they blow you off or they're flaky or like actions that you would be like, why are you doing this to me? Are you trying to fuck with me? Like you playing games. But then
they're not.
They're just so stupid that they can't activate.
Yeah.
And then you realize that and you're like, oh, but you're hot, so I thought you were sinister, when actually you're just
And that's their dumb. Power.
And that's their power. And that's like, they're out there doing this to everyone. Like, you're not special in that situation.
No.
They're going to, and that's like the comforting thing is like, they're going to do this to other people. And I bet a lot of you listening, people are doing this to you right now.
You might be doing it to someone.
Yeah. And you might be the dumb
one. I don't think any of our listeners are dumb.
I really don't think we have dumb listeners.
No, we don't. We have like the smartest listeners ever.
They really understand.
And
this is like
lawyers.
Not a podcast for dumb people. No. People that are dumb would listen to this podcast and be like, I don't get it. And then they would move on to like a different podcast.
I saw someone tweet the other day, what the F is a sexy, unique podcast?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Literally.
If you have to ask.
What everyone in the world is asking themselves right now. We're on everyone's lips.
For your life.
For your life. But Google it for your life.
Google it. But yeah, it's true. They live in like a hyper what is that called? Hyper, that kind of chamber that like keeps you anyway.
An iron lung?
No, it's like
the oxygen chamber.
It's a chamber like Todd Chrisley sleeps in one, I think.
The keep, oxygen
yeah.
chamber.
People they live in though, and it's truly they're preserved and people preserve them for them.
Yeah. People are charmed because they're hot. And I think that this probably happens across all gender spectrums, but I feel like men can get farther with it than women.
Of course.
Just because of the way society works. But like, and a guy, it's like, you don't even have to be that hot.
No.
But like, it's just shocking. And I'm realizing I've dated a few people.
I mean, Winter House.
Yeah. Like I've dated a few people who are really hot. And then you realize you're like, oh my God, they're so stupid. And then you're like, lol. And then you're like, oh my God, they're like so stupid actually. And then you just have to slowly back away.
But they're literally the talk of the town, the toast of the town.
Or they're the toast to those who interact with them, where they're like, oh my God, they're so hot, or they're like tasty. And then
they're so funny. And it's like, that's
are they funny or are they actually just so dumb and you're attracted to them that you then think they're funny?
No,
I mean, that's like the entire brand of like hot guys on TikTok, I think.
That's been my experience of life, just like observing. You know, and it happens with the gays, obviously, with the gays.
Well, yeah.
Like, insta-gays who are doing, like, humor. Like, that.
Someone said recently, I can't remember who, they were like, it's that time of year where insta-gays pretend they got tangled up in Christmas lights. And it's, like, a bunch of, like, shirtless gays, like, tangled up. And they're like, who, me?
But the comments are all like, this is so funny.
Because I think a lot of people are also really dumb.
No, but
I think dumb attracts dumb.
But you know what? I don't even think that the people commenting are dumb. I think they're like pick me people who are just like,
they want to stand out.
They're like simping for like that
for silly non-law.
They're just like down. I'm using all these internet, but like they're down bad. People are down bad.
Well, it's dark times right now.
It is.
It's really hard to meet people. It's hard to get your suck and fuck on. Apps are truly the seventh circle of hell, as previously discussed. It's like, if you don't live in a city like New York, which also is, thank God we left when we did, but like, I was vibing in New York so hard. I was like, you could just meet people here. You can just like walk into someone on the street.
You
like,
can.
And you really can. And that's like
not
the energy
LA.
I'm craving. In LA, you cannot.
I met Simon at 7-Eleven.
But did you know him before that?
I'd seen him in a meeting.
Okay. But like,
it's possible to.
But you'd already known him. Yeah. That's different than like a true like bumping carts at the grocery store.
Yeah. Like at Dean and DeLuca. Like,
yeah. Like in New York, you could literally like you could walk into a bar. I could walk into a bar, even though I don't drink, have a Shirley Temple, strike up a conversation with an attractive person, and then like
meet the rest love of your life.
History for your life. And in LA, like, it's limited.
No, you're in a car.
You're in a car. You're at the dog park.
Or you're just hiding in your apartment. People are fighting
at the dog park. People are weird. I'm hiding in my apartment all the time.
From plague.
Yeah, like, it's just a different vibe. So all I'm saying is, if you think someone's blowing you off or being, like, fucking with you, and you're so furious about it, take a step back. Think, have like a montage moment where you think about all the things they've ever said to you. And then I think you'll probably realize that they're just kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. But smart people have done this too.
Oh yeah.
Like smart, but they're like sociopaths.
Yeah, they're like,
so that's the opposite side. Freaky. Yeah, that's the opposite side. You don't want either one.
No.
It's like that's the spectrum. Either dumb or sociopathic, but like
you want regular normal
people you'll meet in the middle, and they won't do these things that confuse you.
It's okay to be, by the way, that ambient going on next door.
Oh yeah, they've really been going for it music wise. It's a vibe.
COVID's back.
I'm loving it. Yeah, it is a sign of how it's the barometer for like people's seriousness about COVID is when they start doing ambient and like low grade electronic music.
I tweeted today, if anyone posts if anyone changes their profile picture to them wearing a mask, I will scream.
No, we're past that.
I can't. Listen,
I love everyone to be announcing they have COVID, being like, it got me.
Yeah.
She got me.
Here's the thing. I'm like up to date, but I'm not like a like COVIDista where I'm like wearing a mask and like shaming people anymore.
No, that's good. I'm glad that you moved.
I troll people who are like, but I think this is something I'm seeing. How I see it is the people who are like making fun of people or just constantly announcing how little they care about COVID mm-hmm. are just as annoying to me as the people who are like obsessed with it.
Well, yeah, again, it's like the spectrum,
but they're,
you
but
don't
want
to be on either end.
Yeah. And it's really, it's like, so I think again, like the hot bubble, like being somewhere in the middle is okay.
Yeah.
You can make fun of everyone on either side, but don't be like,
you want to be hot, smart, communicative and normal and respectful, but silly and funny.
And with an eye of skepticism over...
Yeah. You don't want to buy in too much to one thing or the other, but make up your own mind and do what's feeling right for you.
Yeah. I mean, I for one, am certainly not a Bidenista, but I'm, you know... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just thinking about my transformative night at the theater last night.
You had a true, like... That's... To me, that's also a sign that COVID's back when no one is in the theater.
Well, I'm telling you what.
That was great for you, though.
It was great for me. But if they shut down fucking movie theaters again, I'm going to go full.
They won't.
I'm going to go fucking Juicy Joe on some people. I'm going to go Juicy Joe on the
Sons
LA.
Of bitches.
Sons of bitches. I'm going to go, why I oughta. I'm going to sneak in and just start projecting films for myself.
Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. I love, keep theaters open. I will come. Like last night I went to go see Scary of 61st.
The photo you posted, I like was crying at it, but I also like, it gave me a little bit of the chills when I saw it.
It was like,
oh no, it's happening.
It was spooky. I was spooked. So I was driving. Okay, I have to actually share this. I went to Beverly Hills yesterday because I needed like a festive Christmas shopping energy.
Did you go to La Scala?
No, but because I like didn't time my eating very well. And then it got kind of late in the afternoon. And I was like, I just got to go. And obviously like Barney's is closed, RIP. That used to be my Christmas safe spot. And I was like, I'm sure Beverly Hills will give me like the safe festive feeling I so desperately crave. I was like, I'm going to go to Neiman's. Mm. I've never been to that Neiman's before, but I was like, it felt like luxe and high end enough to like satisfy and soothe me. Carrie, the energy in Beverly Hills is so cursed right now.
Really?
It is it's the darkest energy I've ever experienced.
I was just there last week.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it was horrible.
Like what?
I don't know. Everything to me felt cheap and like it all just felt like meaningless, like consumerism, but not even like, and obviously consumerism is pretty meaningless to begin with, but like, I love the delusion of it, of being like, oh, I want a nice thing, and like,
yeah,
and like feeling like luxe about it, or be, and like, but everything like, was haphazard and disorganized. And
like
it was
Fall of Rome vibes.
Super Fall of Rome. Like it's, and I think it really is being reflected in like shopping experiences, or like those large scale department stores are not what they used to be. The vibes are off. Actually, it is cursed energy. There was a Santa Claus roaming around. I had lunch at like a cafe on the third floor because I was like about to faint. And I was like, I'll just have a little lunch here. Next and right to me, there was like some woman coughing. And then someone next to me coughed. I was like, I'm going to fucking die in here. then I heard like ding, 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 ding.
That's a little like Bring Out Your Dad.
No, it was crazy. And this woman across from me is, oh my God, look, so cute. Oh my God, so cute.
It was Lisa
cute.
Barlow.
And I was like, what is this? Is there like a Santa just walking around? Sure enough, there was Father Christmas walking around in a cape taking photos with people. And I was like, this is death. And
this
she
is like
goes,
Mask of the Red Death.
She goes, he comes, she goes, oh my God, he's coming over here, he's coming over here. To like, she was also an adult with just a man, a male companion, like didn't have kids, but she was like loving it. She goes, he's coming. And then he came and she goes, hey, how are you? Pretty busy lately. And like making a Santa Claus joke. I was like,
oh my God, she
bitch,
was like
you've
got to
chill. Yeah, she was the darling of the Neiman's
Cafe. She was
the
number
on
one on Santa Claus's list.
She was, how's it going? Pretty busy this time of year? Oh my God. And I was like,
you need to write this.
No, I was truly.
Can you write like an essay about this moment?
It was a real moment. I was like, I have to get out of here.
The coughing.
I was like, everyone in here is going to be dead someday. Like, we've got to go. I hustled my little bustle out. And as I was driving down Wilshire, I was like, truly the second I like crossed La Cienega, I felt like a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Like Beverly Hills, there's something, maybe it was like the full moon, but the vibes were off. And I've never experienced that. I was like, I've got to get out of here. I was driving down Wilshire. I like looked to the right at the Lumiere Theater and I saw T10 and The Scary of 61st was playing. I was like, thank fucking God. And then I was like, this is what I have to do tonight. I mean, called. And I truly, the moon called me to that theater where I sat alone and watched this horror movie that shook me to my core. And I was so freaked out afterwards.
And you were alone.
And I was alone in the theater. I was like, I'm gonna get killed in here.
Yeah.
And I had like horror chills. I walked out. There were like two employees. I was like, they probably had to stay for me to watch this movie. I was like, thank you guys. Like, I'm a good nut. They're like, this bitch, we're staying here so she could pay $15 to see this. Like, we hate our lives. They're now having like the darkness of Beverly Hills. And I just like took to the streets and came home.
But it
was so spooky, so full moon energy.
That feels very like.
But it was the right way. It was.
Yeah,
everything
it is.
Corrected
it is.
Itself with that ending because it was the perfect way to see that movie.
But the way you're describing Beverly Hills is very like preface to something bad.
Yeah, it was like, Carrie, I'm telling you.
No, I get it. I was in.
But everything just looked fake and cheap and bad. Like you would go and sometimes you're like, oh, like. I want to get like a festive Christmas ornament or like you walk by purses and you're like, these look nice. Like, what if I had a purse like this? And then you just see everyone with tons of shopping bags and they're all buying this like cheap, expensive, fake, stupid shit. And they're like gathering and taking photos. And I was just like, everyone, we've got to stop.
No, Beverly Hills usually has like a yummy feel at Christmas.
Cozy.
And it's like, yeah, it's obviously corny as hell, but like you kind of buy into it when you're just like not even buying anything, just walking around.
It's you just need to feel safe.
But I went to Crate and Barrel last week and it was raining out and I like had to walk up the stairs to get to from the parking room. You know what Crate and Barrel I'm talking about?
The one at the Grove shut down. But did you go to the one on Beverly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I kind of got like a weird vibe in there too. The employees were kind of like,
No one wants to be there.
No, which I get.
Yeah. Like, why would you want, why would you want to be there? Yeah. Like, you obviously need your job, but like, I get it. Like, this sucks.
I bought a candle that was ripped. I didn't realize the box was ripped until after I'd purchased.
Hate that.
And I was just like, there was one box right in front of me at the counter that was like kind of a display, but you could buy it. And I was like, I wonder if I should just ask if I can swap that. But I like didn't have the energy. And I knew, for some reason, I knew it would be complicated for him.
Yeah.
Because I get it.
Yeah.
And then I like went and they had fresh masks in like a little box. And my mask was like about to snap. So I took one on my way out. And I was just like. But I got into the holiday spirit yesterday. I went to Candle Delirium.
Ugh,
and I bought.
That is a true safe haven where things cannot go wrong, actually.
I bought a Nest candle.
Nice.
And read the scent diffuser.
Mm-hmm.
Birchwood.
Love that.
And just, it smells yummy in our apartment. I lit it last night, sat on my big couch, and just watched Marvel movies.
That's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
I remembered just now that I further darked myself out by going to the Beverly Center after Beverly Hills.
Because
I had to return. I got this mascara at Bloomingdale's for our show in New York. Because I was like, I need waterproof mascara, but it was really a flop mascara. It didn't come off my eyelashes for days. It just clung.
I've been here for days.
No, it was truly hell. And I was like, I have to return this. Like, I'll just go through. It's more trouble than it's worth, but I need it like truly out of my life forever. And that was the nearest Bloomingdale's. So, and I was like, I'll just pop in here. I got on the elevator to like, is like the worst place in the world. And like the parking garage is so confusing. And then I got on the elevator to like take me to the floor. And there were 6 people in the elevator. And I was like, what? Like, we're all going to die anyway. So like, I'm getting in here. And some woman goes, can you not come in here? Can you not? There's too many people. And I just fully like straight stared ahead. And me and some other guy just blatantly ignored her asking. Also, bitch, there's six people in here.
You're going to get it.
I have antibodies. I had COVID. Get the fuck out of here. You're going to tell me to wait 5 minutes?
Did she say anything
minutes?
Else?
No, she just sighed to her husband and like,
honey,
I'm like, bitch, don't take the stairs.
Take the stairs, but also there's 6 people. What? But one more person is going to add
to
your
risk.
Put it
over the edge. You're not social distancing from the 6 other people in this
elevator.
You
literally give Omicron to like 4 people. So like if one person has it in there, you would probably have it.
We're all fucking toast, lady.
We're toast, honey.
We're all going to die.
These variants are just going
to
keep on.
They're taking us for your life.
I went to.
And I love the just. Everyone ignored her, and I was like, this is dark, but she's getting
camaraderie.
What she deserves. Yeah.
Camaraderie.
That's like total Beverly Center energy is like ignore.
Just some white lady yelling at you on an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Beverly Center once. I didn't realize you can go in there before it's open.
Yeah, you can just mall walk if you want to.
And I just like wandered in one morning, and I was like, I forget what I was doing. I was going somewhere like really early just to grab something, and it was just fully empty, and I was just in there alone, and like, it kind of felt like Dawn of the Dead, like when they're in the mall. And I was just like, this is... And that was last year, but it felt very...
I feel like you came out a different person.
I did.
Like,
and
Carrie went in, but Katie came out.
Katie.
But it's so rare, especially in a city as big as LA, to find yourself alone in any sort of large space. So when you do, it's like extra spooky and special.
It was special. My most... moment that I felt like spooked and like sexy and alone at a movie was when I saw Personal Shopper.
Ooh, yeah.
I moved to LA and I was alone and I didn't really know anyone. Like, I don't think I'd even like potted with you yet. And it was the first weekend I was there or the second weekend, and I walked to the Sunset 5 on Sunset and Crescent Heights and saw Personal Shopper. And I was the only one in the theater. And then these two queens came in. These two, like, older gays came in. And I was, like, I just sat anywhere. Like, I didn't think anyone was coming. And I happened to be sitting in one of their seats.
No.
And he went, excuse me, this is our seat. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he goes, yeah. And then I went to my seat. And then I was like, okay, whatever. And then I looked up and he had turned around and was talking. He was... like, he was talking about me. And I was like, oh, my God, this evil fag. Like, can't let it go, of course. Amazing. But I like loved it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was like, this bitch. And then I saw the movie and then I walked home and I was like, I just felt really like confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was like, oh, I took myself to my first movie in LA. I moved here. Well, here I am on the sexy sunset, you know, at nighttime.
You're
and I
vibing.
Felt, I felt very K-Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Or as much as I can feel like her. But yeah, it can be fun to be somewhere alone.
No, it's the best.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully they won't shut it down. I would like to see The Matrix in IMAX.
Well, I'll be in Florida, so shit's not going to be shut down there.
My mom's like... my family's like fully just like living life in Miami.
You simply must at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida also, they're like doing, you can go get like mononuclear antibodies treatment like for free, I think, if you want to. And if you want to get that in LA, you better get in line. You're not going to get it.
The lines are forming already.
You can't get it. And then if you want to get it, you have to pay $1,500 to have someone come and do it to you at your house.
It's insane. It's sick. The lines are already forming for like all the testing. And it's just like, I keep thinking about Jen Psaki being like,
what, do you want us to give us free tests?
It's like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. Give me 20.
Give me it.
Give me a month's supply.
Yeah. It's not cheap.
I'm waiting.
You know,
or give me a stimulus check. How about that?
Yeah. Anyway, that's for another time.
Anyways, we won't get into that.
I wanted to talk quickly about my Marvel journey this weekend.
Yeah. What are you?
I'm not a Marvel person. Like I've never.
But what are you watching?
I watched Black Widow.
How was it?
It was fun. Flo Pugh is in it.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Okay.
Rachel Weisz.
Love her.
ScarJo, who I usually am like, she's great.
Yeah. I love her.
That's been my favorite one because it's like
girl
femme
power.
Fatale girl boss.
Mm-hmm.
I watched.
Does the plot make sense? Like, could you tell me what the plot is of it? If I asked you to, would you be able to describe what the plot is?
Well, I could. It's like two. They're like Russian agents mm-hmm. who were posing as sisters when they were little.
Do they have Russian accents?
Flo does.
The whole time?
Honestly, it's kind of good. She's funny.
Love.
She plays like a hard-nosed Russian vodka-drinking femme fatale. And it's like an elite death squad from this evil... what are they called? Shadow department in Russia. And they're all women and they're under mind control. And they're like sleeper agents.
Okay.
So ScarJo and Flo have to go in and help them, but they haven't seen each other in 20 years.
And they have to like break free.
Yeah, well, Flo breaks free and then ScarJo has to like, they have to like rebuild their sisterhood.
Love.
And then Rachel Weisz plays the woman who poses their mom. So they have like a family reunion. It's like, and then that guy from Stranger Things, who I don't like, David Harbour.
Oh, okay.
He plays the dad. He annoys me.
He's hot though.
Yeah, he's fine. He's someone that I'm like, get off social media.
Mm.
But it's good. It's fun. And it's not like superhero-y. It's just like action.
Okay.
And fighting. And then I watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I liked that. The first one was
good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like Chris Pratt, but he's hot as hell in it.
He's hot and the movie is funny and Groot is cute. And I like
Groot's
Bradley
cute.
Cooper's little raccoon guy. I cried, I think, in the first one.
Yeah, it's emotional. Zoe Saldana's in it.
Love
She always plays like a creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch The Avengers where they're all like turning against each other. I don't really care.
Yeah, I just don't care.
But I like, I don't know. I was in a vibe. I was trying to no avail to get Simon to watch Station 11. He refuses.
Why? Because he doesn't want to relive pandemic vibes?
No, he just like, he watched the trailer and the trailer kind of was a little twee.
Yeah, I get
and he
that.
He doesn't vibe with like winsome.
With like deer antlers and like Christmas lights.
He just was like, seems to me to be something about a merry band of travelers, which he does not vibe
okay,
with.
Okay, fair enough.
So I respect that, but I've been trying in an annoying way. I've been like, we could watch it. And he's like, yeah, maybe, eventually. But he won't.
I love.
So I'm like having kind of fun.
You guys should watch the three Iron Man movies.
He doesn't like Iron Man.
Why?
I don't
Gwyneth
know.
Is in it. And the third one is truly one of the best roles she's ever had. She goes full action hero.
Peppa Potts.
Peppa Pig. Peppa.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert, he sucks, but Gwyneth is. Yeah, she truly has like action sequences in the third one. It's incredible.
He annoys me so much.
Yeah, he sucks. He's the worst. He's so smug.
Yeah, and he was like traumatizing our queen, SJP.
Yeah, but they've squashed their beef.
No, I know. But I always
imagine. They're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I've let it go. Why don't you do the same?
All right, honey.
Say a serenity prayer. Get the hell over it.
All right. Living like God.
I am three. Why don't you?
I am three.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it.
I think maybe I like DC movies better than Marvel.
I don't like any movie. Like, I'm not a super... Like, I like the Batman, Dark Knight. I am excited to see Robert Pattinson as Batman.
Yeah. I watched The Power of the Dog.
Oh.
And I wish that I had seen it in theaters because it does feel like more of a theater movie than an at-home movie.
Is it good?
It's really good.
Is it creepy?
It's so creepy. Benedict Cumberbatch is incredible in it.
Is that Cody Smith McPhee great?
Yeah, he's great too. Kiki obviously.
Will she win an Oscar?
I don't know. Her role is not as big as I thought it would be. Like, it's definitely more like Benedict's movie. But she's incredible in it. And he's just such like a horrible, mean, unhappy person.
Yeah.
And really like does that very well.
He's a Marvel guy too.
Yeah, I mean,
Doctor Strange.
Everyone is at this point.
Yeah, I was just, every time I saw someone show up in one of these movies, I was like, cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah. I was just like, good for them. They're all getting that.
Get the money.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Oh, did you see that blind item? I sent it to you.
Oh, yeah.
About the anti-vax actresses that are, like, causing tumult in Hollywood right now.
Mm-hmm.
I found out the other one.
Who? What tumult is she causing? She's not in anything.
Yeah, she's, like, up for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh. Well, at this point, isn't everyone just getting COVID anyway? So,
well,
it's really just going to affect them if they get... If they get sick and happen to get really sick, but...
Yeah, but like...
Kind of at this point.
I think it's about like the press coverage and the press tour and...
Oh, like if they get outed and the press is being anti-vax, it's going
to
hurt?
Well, no, just like they're not going to be able to like be around people. Like it's probably, you know, when you're Oscars campaigning, you have to like be out in front of like the press and...
Yeah, but they make everyone wear like... They make all the plebeians wear masks anyways.
Yeah. But I just loved, I was like, as soon
I mean,
as I
heard. I think a lot of models and actors aren't vaxxed.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of models aren't.
But I think if now, if you want to be on a TV show, you do have to be vaxxed. But she's not on a TV. These are just movie actors.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're getting away with it. But like at this point, I really don't. I actually don't give a fuck if you're vaxxed or not. That's on you, sweetie. Right? That's on you for your life.
I have my booster on Tuesday.
Love that.
I've taken a minute. Just because, not because I'm not for it. I just like, and I feel like I've started to feel like shame that I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm getting it.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. I'll be sick as a dog on Christmas Eve probably, but.
Oh, you're getting it the day before Christmas?
I'm getting it Tuesday.
Oh. Curse timing.
I know. Whatever.
I don't have to get boosted for 5 months, the pharmacist said.
Well,
these antibodies.
Look at you with your side.
Carrie
bun.
And I have switched potting positions.
Are you into it?
I'm into it. I can't do this all the time. No. Because
look at the loaf though. He loves it.
No, loaf loves. He gets to go full loaf mode.
Mm-hmm.
I like a recline position, but I can't do it and lean on my shoulder because that I injured my shoulder pretty bad potting that in that position for like a year and a half, and
really?
I had to go to physical therapy from podcasting.
Oh,
so
us olds over here.
I know, real Miranda vibes.
Eating, falling on her face, wrist first. Anyway, let's talk about these bitches.
We're supposed to talk Tampa Bay's.
Guys, we're like, I'm sorry to the ladies of the show and like the crew, like good on you for putting in all
that.
The work, but
you did that show.
The show sucks. It's not, I don't like the show. It's so boring.
We shan't be
That's
returning, even if it does return for a season two, Love and Light to the Bay.
I mean, it will, because it's Amazon.
Yeah, but we... This
I mean,
is
it will, because it's fucking Amazon, as Cuppy would say.
Yeah, I just... And maybe it's that we watched so much in such a short period of time.
Yeah, we're like cramming it in.
We're cramming it in to give people the content they crave over the holiday season, but like, I truly was... Well, I guess we should just intro...
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to...
60 Unique Podcast.
Podcast.
The many bays of Tampa. Grab somebody sexy, tell them hey. Give me everything
tonight. Give me everything tonight. Give me everything tonight. Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, it's just like it was a flop. It was a real flop of a season. And I have nothing. They could have done so many more things. And I understand there's probably like budget issues because it's like a new show. They probably didn't have like the biggest budget. But it is Amazon.
Just like for a group of lesbians who I kept questioning, like, how close are these people? Because like, I don't think anyone is truly that close in their friend group.
Yeah, except like Cuppy and
Summer and Marissa.
And like...
And Allie and Nelly.
And Olivia and...
But I'm just confused. I'm like...
It's awkward.
The
it's
drama like, isn't even good drama.
No, it's very awkward. And then it just really depressed me. And Haley really ended up depressing me. And
Pride
like,
ended up... deeply depressing me.
Although that was kind of, it tickled me because I was like, that is very Pride where you think it's going to be like, you start out having like the best day and then it ends with everyone just like weird drunk.
Yeah, like day drunk, hungover.
Day drunk.
Crying and running away.
Yeah.
But I totally. Have to say like Pride aesthetic is my least, one oh. of my least favorite aesthetics of
it's
all.
It's the worst. I mean, we talked about it. Like, it's just so...
And I love rainbow colors. Like,
no,
on any regular day, I love a rainbow.
No, but it's like...
But
it's like Bank of America rainbow.
Yeah.
It's not, like, cute. No one looks cute on Pride.
Not a single soul. And if you think you do, you're actually wrong.
No, no one... Like, everyone looks beat on Pride. And it's hot.
It looked so hot.
There's so many people. You have to, like... You spend the day just moving through crowds. You have to like perch up. And if you're someone who drinks, you just end up just getting so drunk because you're just stationary and drinking. Like, you're like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
And, oh God.
The episode starts with Olivia and Amanda meeting Murph and Haley at the beach. And Olivia and Amanda have slowly become twins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just dress exactly the same.
Why does Amanda have a bandage on her arm?
I don't know. I was wondering that, too.
I feel like they're, like, messy together. Like, I feel like they, like, fall down.
Maybe.
They're like me.
I was, like, wondering, because you were darked out by Amanda at first, but then I was like, oh, I like her. You don't trust it.
No, I don't trust either.
Too bad we'll never know, because we're not going to ever watch the show again.
But, like, Amanda, they're just, like, on the beach. They're, like, fully in love. They basically moved in together already after, like, 2 weeks, which is very stereotype, but yeah, it's true.
Olivia is, like, feeling like things are really on the up and up. She's a little stressed about making money to pay for all her DUI-related drama. And then Murph offers to just, like, give her a bunch of money, and Olivia refuses it. I wouldn't want to owe Murph money either.
No, Murph is a loan shark.
Yeah, she is.
That's, like, how she does her money.
Yeah.
How she makes, like, her money.
She will ask for it back, and it won't be pretty.
She wants Olivia to, like, do work on her house.
Yeah, then they do another thing, which I'm, like, darked out, where she's like, well, I do have, like, a lot of stuff in the house that needs work that I could pay you for. And I'm just like, oh, so now you're just, like, making her an employee.
Yeah, and she's like, you can do it naked.
Ew.
I was like, Murph is just also, like,
you fucking CrossFit horn dog.
Yeah, she was getting CrossFit vibes, I think, towards Amanda a little.
Yeah.
And then they, like, run into the beach, and they're like, hee 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 hee. That's them in the ocean.
Yeah, they did hee hee in the ocean. Cuppy and the other gals go out for some brunch.
Well, first, Marissa needs to wash her car.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
They go to, like, a garden store. They finally have moved into their home. And Summer talks about how her family's coming. Her mom is Native American. And she has a Native American name, Desert Rose. So her family's, like, very steeped in it. They're, like, very proud of it. I thought this was interesting. They live there all their lives until their grandmother died. They thought they were Cherokee. And then when her grandmother was on her deathbed, she said, we're Sioux. And it's because Sioux, because Sioux were not allowed to get jobs. So, like, they had to pretend they were Cherokee to be able to work.
Damn.
I just thought that was, like,
yeah,
compelling.
What a history.
Yeah. So then Cuppy goes, I invited all the bays.
All the bays to brunch because I have a little surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what if I got a float for Pride?
Because I talked to someone. I figured pulled some strings. Met them when we were out.
She got a truck for Pride that everyone's going to hop on.
Yeah.
But I love her love for it. And then, of course, Mel, the queen of Pride. That montage of every Pride that Mel's 20. Ever been to.
She's been to 20 Prides.
She literally was born to go to Pride.
Pride goes, or Mel goes, Pride. Her name is Pride.
Mel goes, Pride Mel, Proud Mel.
She goes, Pride is an important day for me. I love for her.
Yeah, it's the most important day of the year for Mel.
Most important. And
has she been going to Pride since she was, like, 8?
I guess. I think she was 5. No, I think she's, like, a traveler.
She's born at Pride.
She was born at Pride. She only comes alive for a month every year, and then she goes back into a bottle of Rainbow Svedka, where she's like, I dream of Jeannie, and she lives in there in her little, like, harem room, and then she comes out when it's June 1st.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do.
The number one Pride ambassador, Mel.
No, I think she just, like, goes, I think she goes to, like, Pride Miami, Pride Jacksonville, Pride, you know.
Tallahassee Pride. Palm Beach Pride.
Atlanta Pride. You know.
Arkansas Pride. Charlotte, yeah, any Pride. In like the tri-state area, you can, if there's a Pride, Mel will be there.
Just with rainbow pasties on her titties.
Bikini, little mesh skirt. Mm-hmm. Rainbow flags in each hand.
20 prides. I mean, I've been to, like, 5.
I've never been to a Pride.
Right. I thought you went to one.
No, I walked down the street after holding hands with my girlfriend.
With your female companion?
With the girl I was dating.
Oh, right,
and then
right.
I felt like, I was like, oh my God.
I'm a lesbian.
I'm fucking part of the LGBTQ community, and I've really done that. And that, but that's as close as I've gotten to like pride. It just, I don't like a parade. I find them to be
they're scary,
horrific.
The first pride I ever went to in New York, I went to alone, and I like was went to Christopher Street, and I was like I felt like in the beginning of like some movie, and like takes place in the 20s. I was like hopping over people's shoulders to look, and I
you're
saw,
like Leo in Titanic.
Yeah. I was like hanging on a foot, like, and then with like my newsboy cap on, and then I saw Sandra Lee and Cuomo walking down the street, and Sandra Lee was, because she was the first lady of New York, mm-hmm. and she was going, "Thank you, everyone, happy Pride," and I was like, "Okay," and then I left.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
So yeah, they're gonna like all the bays are gonna be on the Pride. What they represent, I don't know.
Just proud white lesbians.
Yeah.
And Olivia then, cleans Murph's house.
Well, first someone goes, "Cuppy, how long are we aiming for with this whole thing?" She goes, "Early as fuck to late as fuck."
Great.
Summer's family comes. Her mom's name is Debbie. She sounds like Cuppy.
Her mom is like tan mom voice vibes.
And her brother's name is Bubba.
Love
that.
The Southern fam.
Yeah, Olivia is cleaning Murph's home,
and then at the end Murph just palms her like $2,000.
It was kind of nice.
It was nice, but this feels episode like made me like Murph a little bit more, like I understood her more.
Her family made me like her more.
Yeah. And she and Olivia goes, "Oh man, oh no," and Murph goes, take your girl out. I was like, okay, that's big Dale energy.
Yeah, it was sweet. Olivia claims to be a budgeting queen. I'm like, all right.
She should apply that restraint to her drinking.
And her manic relationship.
Yeah, just thinking. Just a thought.
Olivia's like, maybe I can do a lemonade stand. And they're like, maybe like a car wash?
Yeah.
And then Haley's like, ooh, car wash vibes. Sexy, my dream.
Yeah, Haley's like born. Whereas Mel was born to go to Pride, Haley was born to wash cars in a sexy manner.
Yeah.
For money.
Murph's like, oh, it's like her dream.
Oh, my girl washed my car. It's her dream. Summer's nanny was a queen and an icon.
She was in the Howdy Doody show.
Fucking
love that.
Hollywood mistress.
Yeah. This was sweet. She like dons her grandmother's traditional
Native American clothing. And then her mom cries and gets emosh. And then her BFF Kaylee comes over. And
I like
Kaylee. Yeah, I like Kaylee too. And I just was like, oh, this is a sweet family moment. I like meeting the Bays families.
Yeah, me too. Murph's brother is literally Murph.
Mm-hmm.
And then her dad is kind of iconic.
They go to a place called Bowie's.
I think her families are all like New Yorkers.
And I got this. I got huge divorce guy energy from her dad.
Totally. He looked very Florida.
He's extreme Florida. And I love that. While Murph was growing up, her dad called her the general ever since she was little. And she is the general.
It was kind of cute. They said that when people would tell him how cute Murph and her brothers were when they were little, Murph would go, don't come near my brothers.
I love that. Yeah. The general was always watching mm-hmm. and commanding. Haley says, everyone judges Murph because of her eyebrows and her glare. And I was like, you're right, they do.
They do.
They're like, but she's really sweet underneath everything.
It was kind of sad. I got the vibe that Murph's family treats Haley like Murph treats her. Just like a little like.
I thought that they liked her around or whatever. But I do think that Murph's idea. It's really hard if your parents got divorced. And I think in Murph's situation, it seems like they went through like a really acrimonious divorce. It's hard to be like on board with marriage in a real way after experiencing that. And I think she's in denial about like how that's affected her view of marriage. Cause in this episode, she's like, I don't think it's affected me at all. Like hasn't changed my opinion. Like I just don't think a piece of paper like, but, and I'm like, no, that's because you're a child of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Like just own that.
Mm. Meanwhile, Summer's parents, we find out, were not cool with her being gay for a long time.
Yeah. But they're in a good place with her now.
Yeah. And it's like, I relate.
Yeah.
Who's.
I do enjoy hearing about like everyone's kind of up and down journeys with coming out and like navigating that with their families.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's sweet, and I hope that that's changing, kind of. I feel like maybe it is, where it's just, like, more accepted.
I think there's still... I think it's definitely more accepted, but I think there's still, like, a lot of people who don't accept it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, way more now accepted than back then. For like, sure. It gets better and better.
Kind of.
I mean, it never gets better, but, like... Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Marissa asked Summer's parents if she can marry Summer, which was really cute.
Yeah.
And they're immediately like, yes, of course.
Her dad's just crying.
Yeah. Debbie seems a little, like...
She was staring right into the camera.
Debbie goes, hey, you and Summer really look like sisters. And Marissa was like, okay.
That's weird. Thanks. Also, they don't.
Thanks, Deb. Murph's mom is from Brooklyn.
And she's such a Brooklyn.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah, she is stunning.
She's way prettier than Murph.
She said Murph was the man of the house when they got divorced. And she said Murph used to march up and down the block and yell at the neighbors when she was 3 years old. Classic general behavior.
She also used to get on top of her dad's shoulders and just pee on him.
Also, again, the general.
Yeah.
She's a mama's girl. She's a protective personality in general.
She's a total mama's girl. Mm-hmm. I would thought maybe she was a daddy's girl, but she's a total mommy's girl.
Yeah.
Which I respect.
I love that. Then I was like, okay, I get where Murph's coming from. But then the next episode made me hate her once again.
Her mom looks like Laura Palmer.
Yeah, she does. Twin Peaks.
Car wash time.
There's a lesbian car wash and everyone's happy.
Cuppy's spearheading it with her through her strip club that she works at somehow.
Oh yeah, and she's a fan. I kind of just started to fugue out. I was like, all right, let's wrap this up.
And then at the end, like, randomly we see Nelly and Allie like
go like to a swamp,
and I'm like, I don't
I care. Need you guys gone from this show.
And then Cuppy invites them to the pride float and she's like, all right, I gotta go handle some more shit.
She's like, please try and stop the drama, please. Yeah, we'll just make this for both of the finals.
Yeah.
Guys, we thought we were going to record a separate episode, but honestly, this show is it's taken it out of both of us.
We're both in a state of fugue.
We're just, like, relaxed, like...
I didn't shower yet.
Me neither.
That's, like, big Sunday. For me.
I went to Starbucks, got my orders. Coffee still isn't hitting. I did smell poop yesterday, though. What? So that was, like, a huge leap forward.
Yeah, I'm, like, pretty sure I'm... Like, I was exposed 3 times last week by COVID.
You're going to get... Everyone's going to get it, and it's going to be fine.
I just hope I get it before or after my booster shot.
Yeah. I hope you get it post-booster. I mean, I hope you don't get it. But if you do, which you probably will, I hope you get it post-booster. You're going to be fine.
No, I'm not worried. Laura, I'm not worried I'm going to die from this.
Post-booster pre-tour. Pre-Pacific Northwest.
I'm not worried that I'm going to, like, pass from this or people I love. I'm just like, it's more upsetting that we're it back. The only thing that it's bugging me is that we're, like, back basically, like, in this weird state again where it's like things are getting weird again and that there's still so many people who aren't vaccinated who are going to die this winter. And that's like just a bummer.
Yeah. I wish like someone had built more hospitals in the past 2 years or something.
I mean, they're going to probably have like outdoor female hospitals.
But maybe it won't even be that as bad as it is in the past. And everyone, it just feels like everyone's really,
I read a thing yesterday by a guy who's like for the Washington Post. He hasn't commented. He's like the premier health journalist there. And he posted what he posted on his Facebook for his family and friends. And I thought it was like very measured. It was just like what to expect the next month. It's going to be a bad January and then it's going to be fine again. But he said it's going to be probably like 500,000 cases a day, which is double than what we had in our peak.
Yeah.
So.
But it's milder at least.
It's milder. But if you're not vaccinated, that's on you. So.
I'm just so ready for it to be over. I've had quite a bit enough. We're in junior year of COVID.
Oh yeah, we are.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
I can't promise tomorrow, but I promise tonight.
Tonight,
everything.
COVID goes, grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey, do.
COVID goes, grab somebody sexy, tell them.
Just give it, I mean,
give it up.
Just give it up for COVID. COVID really did that.
COVID came back.
COVID came back in a huge way. You thought it was over. Every time you think it's over, it's like, I'm just beginning.
My friend Sean posted on Twitter last night, Anthony Fauci right now. And it was a video of Tokyo, Black China's mom, on her show saying,
Tokyo Tony.
Get down on my knees. Get down on your knees right now and suck my pussy.
Fauci's loving COVID.
Yeah, he loves it.
He loves it.
Oh, he loves it. They all love it. Everyone.
They all love it. The Washington Post loves it. The New York Times loves it.
Fox News loves it. They all fucking love it.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm just
I feel like everyone, pretty much everyone has been Stockholm Syndrome by COVID now, and they love it and depend on it.
Get your fucking ass down.
Dr. Anthony Fauci right this minute. Tokyo's out of control.
Oh yeah, Tokyo Tony is one of the books.
Tokyo Tony is like, says faggot and is like just out of her mind.
Everyone on the Zeus Network app is doing Emmy award winning reality show work, from Jocelyn's Cabaret
yeah.
to Tokyo Tony's like dating show, which I think that's what that's from. It's like, it's art.
Yeah, they're performance artists.
One of my favorite follows on social media is Sister Patterson, aka Tiffany Pollard, aka New York's mother.
Mm.
She's private, but might accept you if you request. But her, she's so fucking good.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like incredible.
I mean, no one is more iconic than Tiffany Pollard.
Yeah. But Sister Patterson is one for the ages.
Where does she live?
I think she's also in New York. She just was like revisiting. This was the time last year in Q4 last year where I just blazed through every single VH1 show, the dating show that ever existed. And I Love New York is one of the best things to ever happen to anyone.
Also, when she just comes in season two of Flavor of Love and just wreaks havoc.
Mm-hmm. She just tells everyone off, and she just like...
To that one girl, she's like, why do you talk like that?
To Becky Buckwild, who continued just talking like that her entire tenure on VH1, to the point where by the end you were like, actually, she was one of the biggest like allies I've ever witnessed on a show like that. Like, so I guess you can actually talk like that if you practice what you preach.
Mm.
She was a true ally at the was end she? Of the day. She really was. I'm not even joking. Mm. Not even yoking. She really did that.
I'm on season 5 of Mob Wives, and it's... It is...
God, you blaze so hard through shows.
It's addict. Alcoholic. Big alcoholic.
Addict.
Drita is just...
Driter.
But I know it's... A year before Big Ange dies, so I can feel it coming. It's, and there's like moments you see where you're like, she's like dabbing her.
She's sweating.
But Renee is out of control and actually a monster and a ghoul. And I'm like glad she didn't come on her show.
Why? What's she doing now?
She is so insane and like mean and like goes after this girl Natalie who's like from Philly, who's actually kind of great.
No, Philly, you know, Jersey and Philly really butt heads,
but she New York and Philly.
Oh yeah sorry.
She just, I mean, God, I love her, she's iconic, but yeah. She's like wretched. She goes like on and off, which is sad. She's like on and off like abusing pills.
Natalie is
Renee.
Oh, Renee did struggle with addiction.
But when you know when she's...
She's starting. When she's starting.
They go to Vegas and she relapses and like goes on a bender. And she's like, she and Big Ange are on the plane and you see the plane taking off. And you hear Big Ange going, Renee, you're having another drink already? Oh my God. And then the... By the time they get there, Renee's in a full, like, starting Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, she's totally possessed in Vegas. And she goes after Natalie, and it's terrifying.
Stoned.
She goes like this to Natalie. She puts her in a headlock. at breakfast! She goes like this. She goes, up. She goes, you better stay over there or I'm about to kill you. And then she walks up to her and she goes, I will hold your head underwater.
Incredible.
Like threatening her with threats. She's like, I will rip each of your limbs off. Like very.
And she will.
Like violent. Like violent world.
The thing is, it's not like Stassi, like cute threat. No. It's like a real threat. Like she'll get physical with your ass.
But Natalie, this new girl is actually great because she doesn't. She's not affected at all.
And you know that steams Renee.
Yeah. She is very just like, it's, oh my God, it's so great. And then Karen comes back in season 5.
Karen.
From, she took a season off.
Good.
To be with her daughter. And then she comes back in full.
She's fully Karen-y.
Fully Karen-ing. And she and Natalie have a brawl that I've never seen on the, like, the pier in Jersey City. And it's like winter daylight and Natalie's wearing full like basically a spaghetti strap when her huge fake tits are just like in full sight and Big Ange goes, oh my God, I love your outfit. I can't handle it. And then Karen lunges at her from across the table and it takes like 40 people to pull them off each other. It's insane.
The way these women brawl, like, I mean, a brawl would kill me.
No.
And put me in hospital for weeks.
When we watch season 2 and recap it, the brawl that they have in, like, I think the second episode at Renee's Celebration of Life party is, I've never seen anything like it on TV. One of them has blood all down their mouth, like, let the right one in.
You've only thrown punches. You've never been in a fight, right?
No, I've been in a fight.
Really?
I mean, that was like a...
That was a fight.
Yeah, I got like knocked out.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I broke my nose, 2 black eyes.
Ooh. Excuse me.
But I've never been in like a brawl with like a stranger. One time at a sorority formal...
It's always the girls that brawl. I'm telling
you. No. This guy, the girl I went with, told this guy to shut up because he was talking during like senior girl speeches.
Don't you dare talk during when the gals are talking at their sorority formal.
And he was, I think he was on drugs, like some frat guy, and he had like the look of the devil in his eyes.
Ooh.
And he got in her face and he was like, I will hit you in the face right now. And he threatened the girl I was with. And I literally took his collar and I was like, are you gonna fight a girl right now?
Papa.
I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And
whoa,
he goes,
that's hot.
He was like, this is between me and her. And I was like, I'll go, you're not gonna punch a girl. What are you gonna do?
I love this is between me and her.
And he's like,
you're
man.
Like, what, like expecting you to be like, okay, yeah, go for it. My bad, man. You just handle it with her. Go punch her, do what you need to do.
But I was like, he was like, man, this is, he's like, I'm cool. He's like, I got no beef with you, man. And his eyes were like red. And I was just like, I mean, it was fine. That was the only time I've ever been close to like fighting someone.
I have never been close to fighting. So I'm like truly.
Well, if someone's
going to
hit one of my girlfriends, I'm going to throw a punch.
Yeah. But like, aside from like brawling with my siblings as like a young person, but like, as an adult, have never gotten close to getting like physical.
It's scary.
But almost every weekend that I went out in Chicago, and like if I ended up at like the 4 a.m. bars with my friends, without fail, there would be a girl fight outside of those bars every single weekend.
Girl fights are intense.
It's clawing, it's ripping hair out, punching, ripping earrings, grabbing cell phones, smashing them on the ground.
Extensions.
And it would be in a circle of people like egging them on. And I was just like so darked out.
Well, there's like probably like, especially with the guys, they probably like get turned on by it in some way.
I don't know. It was really bad.
It's scary. When people fight, it's really scary.
Yeah,
it's not like, I mean, they do it so casually on Mob Wives. Like, they brawl.
Yeah, they brawl. They're ready to brawl at the drop of a hat.
Like, in the season
They'll
one.
They'll brawl on, like, a roof. They brawl just, like, on a casual rooftop.
In Midtown.
Yeah.
And when, my favorite part from that brawl was when Karen shouts them across the room, Drita, I'm coming for you, bitch! And then Drita, after they've been brawling, and then Drita, you just see her, and she goes, she's coming. She's coming.
I don't know how Drita survives all these brawls because she's like...
She loves to fight.
Yeah, she is actually like...
She kind of tells her kids, like, if you don't know what to do, fight. Like, she's like, settle it with violence. It's easier than words. She like literally tells her daughters that.
Honestly, she's not necessarily wrong. Like, sometimes men... Like, the way that men squash their drama is by like brawling and then they're like over it after that.
Yeah.
Like, if you just had to fight people to get over whatever beef you're having, I guess, like, maybe that is an effective way of problem solving.
Yeah, I mean, the time I was, like, blackout and, like, rock bottoming. So yeah. It was, like, that's not...
No, that's not the same
that's
as,
That's not who
like,
I am.
It's not the same as, like, getting so steamed where no. You're just, like, we can't find common ground with talking, so now I'm just gonna fucking try and punch your guts out until I feel, like... Fine.
Yeah.
That actually would feel pretty cathartic, I think.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique, 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I thought one time I was going to get gay bashed in an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was pretty certain he was gonna like break my face. That was scary. Like, he like went did that to me and like turned around, and he was huge.
Whoa.
And he was like, he's like, I will fight you, faggot. And I was just like, oh, sir.
Who, me? Oh my god.
But like, I think I could defend myself, but I'm like, I'd be scared.
Yeah,
I don't want to fight anyone.
No, I don't want to fight anyone either. I don't want to get punched.
The only time I'll do it is if it's, like, someone I love about to be, like, I don't know. Like, I just love the guy being, like, this is between me and her.
Like, you're like, oh. Cool. Oh, my bad.
Sure, I'll
okay. I'll back off. Yeah. By all means, take care of your business.
Take care of your biz, man.
My bad.
But yeah. I, like, why wasn't there really, like, a true brawl on this show? I was expecting there to be, like, a real Tampa brawl.
I don't think that the drama between them is that real.
Let's just lightly recap. I don't want to like go through all the... Basically, this episode is the Pride episode, and they like...
No, this episode is the... We're past the Pride episode. We just did Pride, didn't we?
No.
Oh, no, we did.
This is like the actual
We're now in Pride, yeah.
I love when Cuppy arrives with her two flanked by her two male gays.
Absolutely flanked. Everyone wearing... One outfit truly more hideous than the next.
For a whole day.
For a whole day.
You better be sure that outfit. The only one outfits I liked was Shiva's.
Yeah. She looked really sexy.
She came with two megaphones.
She came with two megaphones and then just went topless with like tape over her nips. And I was like, okay, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Brianna's corn hair went full cob at Pride.
She had like a little like...
She had her hat on.
She was like...
hair curled to the gods.
Queen of the corn.
Queen
of the county fair hair.
She is in Spensa when they drive by that field and there's the corn mat. There's the scarecrow. It's Brianna.
She is a scarecrow come to lifeth.
Mm-hmm. She is scarecrow, the general, they call her.
The pride scarecrow that they put a little cap on and then she turns into a girl for one day only.
She scares all the homophobes away.
Yeah. And then at the end of the night, Haley has to bring her back to the...
to the field.
The farm field. The swamp.
Stick a stick up her poon. Put her out in the swamp.
Poon.
Sorry.
Stick her.
Poon is so gross. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm fucking sorry.
Shoved a pull up her.
Of a poon on her poon. Poon is so fucking sick. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Oh, whatever. You're allowed to say poon.
I know, but it's just gross. I'm not apologizing to you as much as the listeners.
The ladies.
The lady listeners. Yeah. My fellow poon havers. My poon sisters.
I like a word that freaks me out, even though it's funny to me, is when like British people say arse. You shoved it up me arse.
Yeah,
like
arse.
Got a rod shoved up me arse. Like, for some reason, arse is, like, freaky to me.
It's not freaky to me, but I love that for you.
But yeah, the float is very anticlimactic. The crowds are... there's, like, two people there.
Yeah, I love Mel bringing her painting to the bar to unveil it. And it truly was...
I mean, it's fine.
She's just... okay.
It's not, like,
people
terrible.
That are really on the nose about their art. Yeah. Like, it's, like... There's no deeper message to take away or like anything challenging about it. It's just like, oh, I love. And like two women sensually expressing their love. There's no
point of view.
There's no deeper meaning.
And Murph,
and I don't like that kind of art really.
No, it's like art that you see at like a chiropractor waiting room.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is great for her because she's going to mural.
Yeah.
And she's booked and busy. So
she's the... Diego Rivera
of fucking St. Pete. Yeah.
Murph is very triggered by it, of course.
Yeah.
Haley's like a little jealous.
She's talking too much shit.
Yeah, Murph's like, oh, well, look at them. Now they can like put their love on display because that's what they love. They love everyone just seeing that they're in a really healthy, functioning relationship.
It's like, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I love her talking shit on someone's like beautiful relationship. Based on mutual respect.
Yeah.
And not like CrossFit fucking on the low.
Mm-hmm. Although it looks better than the West Hollywood Pride.
Yeah, it has better energy. Less like methy and drunk energy.
I love how they're just like, they're just done with Pride in LA. They're like not doing it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Because of COVID?
I think COVID just...
They were like...
Tuckered them out.
I love, truly... The way that Pride happened in LA always was just so relentless. It was the kind of thing that I was like, this will never stop. And then to find out that it's nowhere near as relentless as I assumed it to be is funny.
Mm-hmm. No,
sorry to those who are obsessed with Pride, but just one less thing that I have to not go to.
One less thing to cause traffic.
Yeah,
we had to deal with Camila Cabello's, you know, lip sync. Shutdowns of traffic, and then now we had to deal with West Hollywood Pride.
I've seen another like cordon-esque gathering on that street corner and driving. I go, oh fuck,
floor it.
I'm literally like, I will fully tiny gun at them next time if they put me through hell like that again. Terrorism, local terrorism. But yeah, less traffic-y things. You got to cut Pride. Sorry to say this, but cut the AIDS walk. That caused a lot of traffic.
Oh my God.
Cut the LA marathon.
Yeah. Just cut all things.
Just cut everything.
No more pedestrians.
Just cut cars.
Just have everyone use horse drawn carriages.
I would love having a horse.
Outside the snow is falling in. Okay. Nelly and Ali are...
You've really taken things to a place of a cappella.
We have.
You invoked the spirit of fucking Pitch Perfect, and now this podcast will never be the same.
This is a Pitch Perfect podcast. I don't want to talk about this. They basically just, like, everyone's, like... Murph Dog and Haley are just like feeling very like betrayed by Nelly and Allie.
And they're being standoffish. And then like Nelly and Allie pledge their allegiance to Summer and Marissa for life.
Amanda comes to Olivia's bar to like chill with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just really unremarkable.
Yeah.
She's like, Olivia's like, she's really, she, you know, she's still applying to jobs. She can't, I'm like, how hard does it get to just, there's lots of bars. You can get like, what's taking her so long? TikTok. Mm-hmm.
TikTok, bitch.
Amanda, yeah. She just seems like kind of lobotomized.
They both seem, they're both a little vacant. Olivia shit stirs on the float with Murph and Haley. She goes, I guess Allie and Nelly said they're like not going to be friends with you anymore. And I don't think that they were ever friends to begin with, but no, they like just met doing this show. Yeah. So they're actually like, JK, we're going to just be loyal to our friends. And then Haley goes, our drama is our drama. And then they like confront Nelly and Allie. And Summer watches as Nelly and Allie pledge their allegiance to Marissa and Summer for life.
And then Haley ends up like crying and walking home with her, holding her arms while Murph follows her.
Yeah. Classic drunk.
Classic pride.
End of pride. Cuppy drives chaotically. I like to think she's caused like multi-car pileups by like...
Totally. I-95 has never been the same since Cuppy got her license.
Cuppy takes to the road and the body count just goes fucking up.
You think the COVID body count is high?
Try Cuppy's hit and run.
Cuppy's hit and run.
Cuppy's hitting and running. You thought Olivia was trouble driving? Wait until Cuppy gets behind the wheel.
What if Cuppy's like Alien Wuornos and like kills men?
I would love that
in
twist.
In the swamp.
Tampa Bay needs an Eileen storyline in order to like sustain. Because obviously, like.
Florida needs a new female serial killer.
Yeah.
Basically, Marissa is going to ask Summer. She has Shiva and Jordan set up her proposal. For some reason, she can't do it.
They go to a furniture store called Frickin' Fab.
They go to Home Goods.
And then Home Goods. And I was like, they dropped probably like $700 on
the setup.
Tchotchkes to like set up this beach day, which I was like, I hate this.
It was like windy. It's not cute. Shiva's
like, Frickin' Fab.
Shiva's like useless at setting it up, but it's funny.
Yeah. She's like, dude.
Dude,
Jordan's
this is hard.
Like, I don't know why I asked you to do this. Like, this is a huge mistake.
She's just like getting drunk.
I love at the end too. Shiva goes, it was an honor to be invited to this special event, but I decided to go home and congratulate them later. She was done with it. I would be too. I don't want to do labor for someone's engagement. Get engaged on your own fucking watch.
Is Marissa a nurse?
Yeah.
She'd be a good nurse.
Yeah.
I'd be comforted if she was my nurse.
I trust her.
Shiva goes, I better be invited to the wedding. And I'm like, that's me. That's how I would be caring. Like, can I come to the wedding?
Yeah. Olivia and Amanda go to a petting zoo to DTR.
And then like totally down to relash.
Define the relationship.
Yep.
Amanda reminds me of Ruby from Real World, Hawaii.
Oh my God.
Right?
Ruthie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Remember when Ruthie
came? I'll never forget. She was like my first chaotically drunk lady on TV that I ever really.
Queer lady.
Yeah. She her left a lasting impression.
Her eyes rolling in the back of her head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So scary. That house was great.
Yeah. There was a prime season.
Beth. Ugh.
Olivia asks Amanda to be her girlfriend. Amanda's like, will you be my girlfriend? And they're like, we're girlfriends now. And it's like, okay, great.
And then I came out of nowhere and went, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I want to go to that petting zoo though.
Oh, look, fun. I've never been to a petting zoo, I don't think. No, I have.
Yeah, you definitely have.
I have. But
I
like not
petting
as an adult.
Zoos. I love them. I love goats. I love all sorts of animals.
I want to go to a pig place.
Yeah.
And snort.
I'm going to go hang with baby pigs. I've never done that.
Just give me them.
I want to go have a farm with goats and pigs.
Well, when...
chickens.
As society starts collapsing more, you can really think about it.
Yeah.
Have that pig run around with actual pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Basically...
Shiva... Jordan FaceTimes Marissa from the scene of the engagement, ground zero, and Jordan and Marissa's like, so what's going on? Like, have you set it up? Like, what's the deal? And Jordan is like really nervous for some reason. She goes, I just need some Xanax and some Labetabol, and I'll be fine. What's that? Like a beta blocker?
I think she's nervous that people are going to start asking more questions about her fake girlfriend.
I was like, literally have left this season being like, I don't think Jordan's even a lesbian.
Yeah.
That's my trutherism is I think Jordan is absolutely straight.
Maybe that's her. Maybe she's like, that's why she's so nervous.
I think she's
trying to hide.
I think she's straight and she just like found friends and was like, oh, I'm a lesbian too. Like, but my girlfriend, it's long distance.
Yeah.
So you never have to see her and she never hooks up with anyone around.
Like, she's so hot and she's a nice pussy.
She's beautiful. And I truly do love her pussy.
I love her big pussy.
I love her beautiful pussy. And when I go down on her, she comes so hard. And I'm going to call her right now. She was sick this weekend. I want to check on her.
And they're all, I think they all kind of know.
They all know, but they're like, you're fine. And yeah. You'll do like little errands for us. So mm-hmm. We can keep you around. She's like, they're like, are you around this weekend? And she's like, oh, I would be, but I'm going to go visit my girlfriend. She lives 6 hours away.
We're going to go
eat
each other out.
Movies and just, we can't resist going down on each other. So we'll probably do some of that.
I love like a fake gay storyline.
I really do think that she's it's like I in got the that and I was like
it's like in the other two.
Yeah, and her like acting when her like will I or won't I mail this letter to my grandparents?
Yeah,
which basically said like, hey, love you guys, like thinking of you. It never said anything gay. And then she had that conversation totally behind closed doors and then recapped it.
Oh my god.
But she did say that she did do on camera with her mom about being gay.
I think she's gay.
No, I know. I'm just being silly.
But I also want to believe that she's like pretending.
They need a character to come out as actually straight.
I think I'm going to like pursue this in my head as a plot for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make it more interesting in season two.
They do need someone to be like, okay, I have something to tell you.
I'm straight.
I'm actually totally straight.
And they're all like, oh my God. Can't hang with us anymore.
Yeah.
They only you the don't bays only.
You don't suck puss.
Oh my god, I love the idea of her letters being a smiley face.
Yeah.
Cram.
Hey guys, miss you.
Me and my girl are gonna go to the movies and we're gonna go play golf.
Yeah, have sex all the time. It's just crazy. She goes down on me, and then I go down on her.
Then we're gonna get up and go to the
I'll probably fall asleep from
driving range.
Getting so exhausted from having so much sex.
It's amazing what you can do when you...
Yeah, we'll just go up. We'll have to eat a big brunch.
It's amazing how hungry you get after just plowing each other all night.
You guys know what that's like.
You know what I mean.
I
get a... Hell constant. Yeah, cuppy.
Yeah. Looking at you, cups.
Looking at you, cuppy. And I love...
6 hours away, though, so I gotta probably... Gotta hit the road.
And she just goes.
It's hard, but you do. When you find a girl that you really love, you just. Distance means nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
So I'm gonna go.
Gotta get through the tolls.
Then she goes and hangs out with all her straight friends.
Yeah.
That are just like hetero.
Yeah.
Normal hetero people.
Or she hides in her house, at her parents' house, and like locks herself in her bedroom for the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets in her car.
Photoshopping like pictures of her with like stock footage. Mm-hmm.
And then she gets in her car and drives back into town. She's like, oh my god, that trip was...
Wow. Oh, I'm just reeling from having the best weekend of my life with my girl.
For my life.
My life.
Anyway.
Summer's mom. Marissa's like game planning with Summer's family. And her mom goes, look at her. She's nervous as fuck. She goes, look at her. She's nervous as heck.
Her mom is like kind of weird. Summer's mom.
It's Tan Mom.
Mm-hmm. And then... As this proposal is happening, Haley and Murph are celebrating their anniversary, and it's
for a
really
loveless
dark.
Anniversary.
Murph goes, "Happy anniversary!" and she hands her like Whole Foods, a bouquet from like Whole Foods that still has the plastic on it.
And Haley goes, "You know I love roses."
She goes, "I got you something," and it's like a weird little.
It's like a tchotchke,
from,
like
the Hallmark store.
Yeah, Murph goes. They sit down, like, their dinner small talk was killing me. She goes, what are you going to get? Haley goes, probably like a salad or something. She goes, yeah, something light. I mean, I'm not too crazy hungry either. And I was like, what a fun date. What a great, beautiful way to celebrate your six-year union together.
She goes, you know, I was doing lots of errands today. And then Haley goes, I know I was tracking you on my phone. And Murph's like, oh, what do you mean? She's like, I just wanted to see what you were doing. She's like, trying to see, you know, what kind of gift I'm getting for you. Like, maybe next year it'll be, you know, it'll be, I got you a little something. It's kind of a big gift. And then Haley goes, what is it? And she hands her a box and it's a pocketbook.
It was a YSL purse.
Oh, it was nice.
Mm-mm.
But
6 years together, honey. That needed to be a Chanel bag. You went to Neiman's. I know Neiman's has a Chanel section. You need to come correct. You need to drop $5,000 to $7,000 on a purse. Don't get like a $1,500, like $2,000 bag.
Just get her a ring. Just fucking propose to her.
If you're not going to do a ring and you need to do something equally as high end, and at that point in the game, it has to be like Chanel, Hermes, like something incredibly expensive and worthy that someone could pawn or resell if they wanted to.
She has anything for my girl.
I like bougie stuff and blah. And Haley's like, I don't really care about that stuff.
She's like, thanks though for the
purse. Yeah. I was like, this bag, this is the best you can do.
And then Murph Brianna goes, you know, who knows? Maybe next year it'll be something even bigger. And I'm like, a bigger purse. Long John bag.
I'm obsessed with Haley getting it, and she goes, wow. Thanks. Thoughtful.
She's like, maybe next year it'll be something bigger. Than Haley's like, a ring. And then we cut to next year and it's a purse the size of a car.
Yeah, it's just a huge purse. And Haley steps into it and Murph carries her away.
To CrossFit,
where she plows her.
But I think as the preview show for the season that we won't be watching, they get married.
Yeah, in like a really yucky little patio wedding.
Murph.
It was like PVC with a PVC pipe.
M dog.
I'm sorry, but if you have a visible PVC pipe at your wedding, I don't want that either. Yeah. I want the Chanel.
Murph dog.
Murph diggity dog.
Haley's down
stop.
Bad for Murph dog.
Yeah, I am not a fan. I am not a fan.
But Summer and Marissa get engaged and it's really cute.
Lesbians are so funny.
They were really funny.
Marissa's like crying, or she's like being weird, and Summer goes, you're being weird. And Marissa goes, I'm just trying to love you. It's cute. Yeah. Same-sex relationships are really...
I mean, I said that to Simon when we got engaged. I said, you're being weird.
No, it's hysterical. It's like a very...
Yeah. It was cute.
I had chills when they got engaged.
No, it was beautiful. And then like...
I have chills.
Their parents come... His dad's, her dad's such a softy.
Yeah, he's weeping. Deb's mom's like, just kind of staring.
All right, now you're like real sisters.
Wrap it up. Now it's beautiful.
Anyway.
Olivia goes over to Haley and Murph's and tells them that she thinks Amanda is the one and she's ready to get married tomorrow. And I was like,
oh my God, I think that wedding is maybe.
Maybe it is Haley and Amanda's or Olivia Amanda and Olivia's.
Ooh.
Oh, it could be, because it is so just like haphazard. Don't you think like Murph and Haley would be
M-Dog? You never know with M-Dog though. She's
then Murph makes a series of incredibly disrespectful jokes at Haley's expense.
Yeah,
where Haley's like, Olivia's like, you better marry her, like she does everything for you, like she like cooks and cleans and like, and Murph's like, I could pay someone to do that. Could have someone doing that tomorrow. Pay him. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
And Haley cries and runs upstairs. She goes, fuck off.
Olivia goes, wait, look, is she really mad? Is she mad?
And then Murph's like, gotta go.
Gotta go deal with my emotional lady. She goes, hey, I don't know why you're up here being so sensitive. Like, what the fuck?
In some shit.
Like, what? And he's like, it's just like really disrespectful. Like, you know, like I care about that. And you say these things. It's like so rude.
And Murph's like, all right, I'll work on that.
She goes, what? She goes, I don't want to give you an ultimatum, but like, I can't like wait forever. She goes, then don't wait. And I was like, I'm going to kill you, Brianna.
Yeah, she's like, I think she's actually hates Haley.
I don't think she hates her, but I think that she likes having someone around to disrespect. She likes having a hot broad that will do everything for her that she doesn't have to actually like super commit to. And she knows Haley's not going to leave because their lives are so enmeshed with each other.
Yeah. I just,
it's giving me Schwartz and Maloney vibes. Yeah.
And she's like, I almost think she's trying to get her to break up with her.
Maybe. I don't like it one bit. And I don't like that YSL purse. No. And I don't like Dairy Joy, that restaurant that Shiva and Jordan go to. Fake lesbian Jordan.
Flesbian.
And then, yeah, everyone gets married, I guess, next season. But you guys, we just can't do it.
I can't. But thanks for sticking with us. We tried. We tried something new. We tried to support the LGBTQIA community.
But we realized they're better off in the shadows sometimes.
We need our messy girls from... our messy mamas from Staten Island.
Yeah, we need the mob wives. We need toxic heterosexuality. I prefer that over, like, functional...
milquetoast.
Queerness.
So, guys, tune in the new year for season 2 of The Matriarchs of Mutzadel.
Yeah, we're going to go back to a place of mob wives.
So stay tuned.
And I hope that you're enjoying this like weird interim time between Christmas and New Year's. And
stay safe.
Stay safe. And when we get back, also we'll catch up on Housewives of SLC. I'll be catching up on Vanderpump Rules with some guests. And we'll be catching up on Just Like That. So
and tour.
And then we have a tour coming up. So get Omicron, get over it quickly, and then get tickets to the shows.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What's your New Year's resolution? Do you have any? Do you even do those?
I want to work out more.
Love that.
Exercise.
Are you going to come to a Bunda class with me ever?
Maybe. I just want to be more like active.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stop apologizing so much.
That's a good one.
What about you?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of one. Probably... I want to meditate like every day, but it feels really hard to do.
It is.
But I think it would, I mean, literally every single person I've ever spoken with has been like, you need to meditate. You need to meditate. So maybe this will be the year after hearing it for 10 plus years that I'll listen.
And I want to get, that's good. My other one is I want to get plugged back into my recovery.
Love that.
So, my program.
Get active.
Get active, become known again, and be a...
pillar of the community?
Just be a member among members.
Love that.
Anyway, guys, let us know your resolutions.
Yeah, drop your resolutions in the comments of the Patreon. I want to know where everyone's head's at. Like, what are you doing to...
Thank you all for being so... great this year and supporting us.
Sold out our shows.
I love all of you. I even love the haters in the Facebook group.
Oh, I fucking love them. Mwah, I love them. Mwah, mwah. Chef's kiss to you guys.
But the ones who
may
really...
May the new year give you the peace you so desperately need.
Love that for you. Especially the people who really came out to support us at the tours and just have been really, really encouraging. Thank you so much. And I hope everyone...
I can't wait to meet...
more
a
people.
Whole new gaggle of people.
And the PNW and just
and SF.
SF and just hope your families are well and you guys have a good time and be close to your loved ones and stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.